So if we're gonna call this thing rightly walking through the Bible, and we have to obviously start at the Bible. this is worth, hopefully you're taking notes. Again, this is hopefully a way to show us or show me or just review it again what we show people if we want to talk to them about what it is that makes us so different than everybody else or whatever, all the rumors they've heard, whatever. And I want to do it in a fashion where you take as many notes as you can for your sake, and then next week or even at the end of the session, this morning, I was going to say end of the period, but this is not that much of a school thing, sorry. End of the class here, or even next week, just ask questions. Where are some verses on whatever it is we talked about? So like for this morning, part one, if we're going to have a walk through the Bible, what do we consider the Bible? Because everybody we're going to be talking, just everybody we talk to is going to have a different Bible, if they even know what kind of Bible they even have. They probably don't even care. The emphasis on the Bible is gone. It just means nothing to people. Whatever Bible their church uses, whatever Bible their pastor preaches out of, whatever Bible grandma's given them or mom and dad have bought them or whatever. And that they don't really know their Bible at all. But you do. You know how to rightly divide that thing, and you know a lot more than you realize. And as I was sitting down looking at this, how are we going to present this? This more stuff came to me as far as, well, this is a verse, there's a lot of stuff here. I mean, you can't just do what I was kind of wanting to do here. So, if I were to ask you, then, what are some verses in your Bible that talk about the Bible? Well, there'll be some silence out there in the web land this morning, because we're going to ask questions and as this thing goes on, and we're a very shy people here in Touche, so I forgot, we have a ping pong cam this morning, so if I keep looking at you, it's because the cam is right over your head, just so you know. Might be some kind of a reflection there, but we hope that doesn't come through, it'll be all right. For example, there are no verses in the Bible that talks about the Bible. Because the Bible is not, it's just a collection of books. We've probably already seen the golfer's Bible, the cook's Bible, everybody's got their Bible. Some kind of activity, you got a Bible, the cooker's Bible, the tennis Bible. I had a book called The Tennis Bible. It's where all the facts are at for something. So there's nothing that says the word Bible. So we're looking for what? What would we be looking for in our Bible, our collection of books here God put together? What would we be looking for? Want to find some verses on what we call the Bible. What would you look for? What's the key word? Word of God? Yeah, Word of God, Words of God, Scriptures. There's a big thing, Scriptures. So in the Scriptures, what do you have for some verses that would tell people that you're going to show them a verse? I mean, they have to know that you believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. And we'll get into that eventually, but they have to know that to start with. They already know that. So what are some verses in your Bible that you would use to show people about God's words? I can stand here as long as you can sit there. What do we got? Okay, Psalm 12, 6 and 7. That talks about what? The fact that they're pure words. And what else? You're ahead of me now. See, the salesman, we're ahead of us now. I got you a couch, now I need to get your recliner really quick here. What in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, what do we have? We got pure words and... Okay, so they've been tried in the fire 7 times. And the first thing, if they were interested, what does that mean? You can tell, well, that means that this Bible's been through 7 different major translations. And when it got to the English, which was the 7th one, there's 7 variations in there before the King James, that was the 7th one, if they want to hear that sort of a thing. It's a very fascinating study, and you tell them that, then you get back to the subject. Now, if it's purified, and it's 7 times, what else is it? What is the huge promise in that verse, in those 2 verses? Okay. You get back to Psalm 12, 6. Preserved. It's preserved. There's what people have to know. That God, whatever God spoke, whenever He spoke it or whatever He did, whatever they want to think, that He promised to preserve it. Now, no other Bible has that promise in there. Something you got to show them. So there's one verse right there that they don't have. So now, what do you do? You're already comparing 2 different things to come up with a choice, and it doesn't work. So you just got to go on. But that you got to realize that people, their Bibles doesn't say that God's going to preserve His Word. What would you ask somebody then if you're talking about preservation of His words from what? What does it say there?
preserve them from this generation forever.
Okay, so what's the obvious question you want to ask somebody? I shouldn't use the word obvious, because if it's not obvious, I don't want you to feel bad, but what would you ask them? Yeah, where's it at? But again, you're still dealing with the fact that they don't have a Bible that promises it to be preserved. I thought we didn't have too many chairs stuck around here, but I guess when you're upstairs, we look smaller than we are, you know. Okay, so we have a situation where people don't have what your Bible already says. Your Bible says it's going to preserve His words, or pure words, purified seven times. It's going to preserve those things forever. Okay, so that's your first point. Their Bible doesn't have that. Yours does. Now, what's another verse, Scott?
I'll give you a different one.
Yeah, which one did you give me, the 13:10 one?
Yeah.
We'll kind of stall that one a little bit.
Psalm 138:2.
Okay, what's that?
God's word above the king.
Okay, what do we do with it? What's the verb in there, I think? What would that word? Anybody know? Psalm 138:2. What do we do with this word? Magnify it. We magnify that word, and not just lifted. I mean, I've said that word lifted or praised, whatever. But the word is magnified. So, what's more important than His name? Everybody out, the people are going to be talking with. If ever you get a chance, they think the name of Jesus is the name above all names, which it is. I forgot where that's first. I thought I wrote that down. Name of all names, anyway. But there's still one thing higher than His name, and that's the what? His word. Now, why is that important? Okay, it's everlasting. Well, this is just like school days. This is amazing. Why is that such an important thing? It's everlasting, sure. But it's more than that. Why do we need to have the word above His name? Okay, so it's the first thing that comes along. But why is that even so? Now, don't be afraid to say stuff if I like say, well, that's good, but not the right answer, you know. Well, why is that such a huge fact that His word must be above His name? We wouldn't know which one is the real one, because Paul does what? He warns about another Jesus. So you've got to have something higher than Jesus. Well, that'd be God. Well, okay, fine. Well, how is God going to tell us? Through a word. So His word is magnified above His name. So there's another, that's good. Okay, how about another verse? Not the 13:10 one yet.
1 Thessalonians 2:13.
Without reading the whole verse, what does that verse tell us?
I got the verse right here.
Okay, just look up here and tell me what that verse is about. What's the key thing in there as far as the Word of God? There's two things in there. At least
it works in us.
It works in us? In who?
Right.
But what? It's all right. Don't listen. You guys haven't been to school for this. Don't relax. This is okay. It works in who? Didn't say us. Them that believe. So see, now we got a possibility of the fact that you're talking to somebody who doesn't believe. So they're going to look at this Bible, and what are they going to get out of it? Nothing. Maybe a bunch of grammar, but get a great history of they teach this thing in some schools. They teach it as a great work of what? Literature. I mean, it's a fantastic da-da-da-da. But for somebody who believes, this Bible is going to do what to them? It's going to work in them. So when something's working in you like this Bible, what is it going to do to people? What are some of the things that's going to happen? They're going to get hurt. They're going to get encouraged. They're going to get... going to get in a fight? They're going to get... What'd you say?
Edified.
Instead of getting in a fight. Well, okay. Honey, here's what you're doing wrong. We got a fight going on. But I mean, that's true. Okay, edified, right. Encouraged, edified, comforted. But that's only if you what? Study, but read, but what? Believe. Because that's what it says. In you, in them that believe. That thing will work in them. And the other thing that verse says about the Word of God, what is it? Another thing in that verse. A couple words before that. It is not what, and it is what?
God's Word is measure of the Word of the
Yeah, it's not the word of men, it's the word of God. Is that what it says? Word of truth? What does that say?
God is the word of men, but as it is in truth.
Is in truth, okay. The word of God. So now we got a possibility. Is that Bible you have there, Frank? The word of God, is it just the word of men, or is it the word of God? And you got to, we know what that verse is telling us. That verse tells us that that's the word of God. And that's telling us that those other Bibles are what? The what? The word of men. I mean, it's simple. It's just obvious. Okay, but that's a good set of verses on the King James Bible. Oh, why do you say King James Bible? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. How about another verse? I should be crossing these off what you got here. Oh, well, we'll just wing it. I said we're going to wing this thing, so.
Hebrews 4:12.
Okay, what about Hebrews 4:12? Can't read it. Can't read it. That doesn't work. Okay. Okay, so what do we got in that verse that we know? Some little fact, pull a little fact out of there that's it, that by the word of God is what? Okay. Why does it have to be so sharp? Okay, in what fashion? Okay. Actually, it separates it from what else, too?
Soul and spirit.
Soul and spirit, the flesh, there we go. And what's this talk I'm throwing there about that comma or something? What is the chit-chat about all that the comma that's in that verse? What's the importance of that comma? Raise your hand if you know, but you're just too chicken to say. That comma separates the body and soul, the spirit and soul, and what? Then you got the bones and marrow. That's the flesh. So maybe that's just that's pushing. I don't think it's pushing it. That comma there separates the soul, the spirit, from the flesh. That's what? Spiritual circumcision. Where do you find that in your Bible? And by now the people are going, man, would you have been to Bible college or something? Where'd you learn all this? And you just, okay, flip over to where? Where are we flipping to now to show what that sword does? Colossians chapter 2, verses what? 11 to 12. And there's how you present spiritual circumcision, which people have never heard of before. Now, we're in Hebrews. And the question would come up, well, this is Hebrews. This isn't to us. Is somebody in the tribulation, can they take this word of God? And will they be separated from the flesh, from the soul and the spirit? Apparently, it can do that. I don't know how to explain that sort of a thing, but you read through the tribulation books and you can also lose your salvation. How can that be? I don't know yet. I don't know. So if you got that question floating around, I guess we'll get that answer when it's time to have that answer. That's what the word of God will do. Maybe it doesn't do it during the tribulation until it's all said and done. I don't know. There's an answer for that question. But we know that that's the word of God, and the word of God is sharper than a what? That way it goes zip, zip both directions. And what else do we know about that? Whose sword is that? Okay, so a little, where is it, where's the verse on that? This is the sword of the Ephesians 6. What's the verse? Okay, it's towards the end. What? 17, it's the sword of the Spirit. So, if a person's really interested in what you're talking about, then here's a good time to ask a couple of questions. Well, you know, so then if your Bible, what you think is the Bible, is the word of men, is that really the sword of the Spirit? And they would probably say, I'm done talking to you. But if they're not, and they would say, well, I don't think it would be, would it? No, well then, who's that? Who's the word of that sword, that two-edged sword, who's that belongs to? It's the sword of the Spirit. So is God going to use another Bible that's the word of men to do that spiritual circumcision operation? It's an operation made without what? Without hands. So it's a spiritual operation. And have you had that happen to you? Well, I don't know. And that gets us into that direction where you go down and the man gets mad and the ladies cry. As far as, can you prove that you had that spiritual circumcision? How do you prove that? We'll do that another day. Let's get back to the sea. Hebrews 4:12. What else is in there? We got the sharpened two-edged sword. It's a spiritual circumcision. What about verse 13? What's kind of an interesting fact in that verse? I like a two-letter word in that verse. Is everything working out there all right? Hebrews 4:13. This is the next verse along the line. There's a two-letter word now that's pretty interesting. I think it's in that verse. It begins with H. Was it a three-letter one? Okay. Okay. Then I'm thinking of the word he, but it's what? Him, okay. So much for my Parsimers. His. No, neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight. And his is referring back to 12, two-edged sword, because it just continues on from 13. So this is actually a living book. That's the Spirit of God. Okay, so a couple things in that little set of verses. What else? How about another verse? Don't be afraid if it's not what I want now. I'll just say we'll do that one in a minute. Okay, what's that one say?
Every man shall pass away, but my Lord shall not.
Okay. They're going to be around forever. It takes us back to the question, where are they today? And do they believe that God, what's the word? What's the big word out of Psalm 12, 6 and 7? Begins letter P. Okay, that bigger word. Longer lasting. Preserved. So if it's preserved and they're forever set, what that verse go, Scott?
Not there right now.
10 minutes less for recess for you. I forgot my question. Should I pass away? There we go. Okay, so they have to be somewhere today. If your Bible is different than mine, then where are they at? How about another verse? What chapter in the Bible is almost every verse is about the Word of God? Psalm 119. How about some verses out of there that you could show somebody? 105, that talks about what? Okay. So, if you want, you can talk about the fact that your Bible, you believe your Bible to be the Word of God, and it's your lamp, and it's your light, and it's everlasting, and if you wanted to, you could fill in the fact, well, their Bible's written by man, must be a fake battery. The Energizer Bunny does eventually run out of energy after a while, and you want to have a real light or a fake light, or a black light, kind of stuff like that. What else?
130.
What's that one? Psalm 119, 130. So that tells me that the first thing I need to do with my Bible is what? Get it in. Read it. Entrance of thy word, what?
Give us light. To give us understanding and keep it simple.
Give us light. Give us understanding. What's that again? I'm falling asleep here with my nighttime. My lullaby, yes. Coming from my right ear over. I thought I was hearing something. Entrance of the word, give us what?
Light. It gives us understanding
unto the simple. So basically that verse is telling us that the Word of God is not what? What's the Word of God not? But everybody says it is. Complicated.
Right.
I need another Bible somewhere. I can't understand this thing. And then they're going to come up with the these and the thous, and your instant answer, Bob, would be what about the these and the thous? We're going to really cut down on Sunday school attendance next week. I just got this feeling. What's that?
They're plural and singular.
Okay. Which?
Yay.
The Y's would be anything. Y is plural and T is a singular. There you go. And why is that so important? Why is that so important? Can you give me a verse where that is a huge thing to understand? Anybody? What? Yeah, because that's Nicodemus talking to a thee, singular, and yet he refers to a what? A ye, plural. So knowing that now that we understand that the Gospels are about Jesus going to the Jews, then Israel is who he's talking about there. Not an individual person. And by the way, what is it that salvation was determined on by the gospel in the Gospels? What determined their salvation? What did they have to believe when they believed? That he was the Christ. There's no trusting involved. They had to believe, and they had to have faith, because they still have to believe that he was the Christ. So whenever you read about being a believer or believing or whatever in gospel verses, all they had to do is to believe that he was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. And they could do what? Anytime they wanted, they could do what? Suddenly not believe. They could just quit. Where's a good set of where's a place in Gospels that a bunch of people quit? He got to talk about the fact that they need to eat his body and drink his blood. And a whole bunch of them took off. You know what they did? They quit believing. So what do you suppose they probably... Apparently they must have just walked away from Jesus. Can you walk away from Jesus today? You can walk away from his book, but you can't walk away from him, because what would he have to do in order for us to be able to walk away from Jesus or do a sin that would cause us to lose Jesus Christ as our Savior? What would... He has to deny himself, because he's the reason we can't be. He's the reason we don't have sin put on us. So you have to quit himself. And he's not going to do that for what he's been through. Think he's going to quit now? So he can't do. He can't do that. He won't do that. So that's a huge, huge teaching in the Gospels as far as who they have to believe. Now, where's a good example of? I'm getting off the trail just a little bit here. Where's a good example of? Showing that they had to believe that he was the Son of God. And it's missing in their, there we go, and it's missing in their Bible. Show me what you mean by have to believe that he was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. Well, I'd like to show you, my Bible, it says right here, da-da-da-da, but if you look in your Bible, and they're going to look in their Bible, they're going to say, well, mine's not there. It goes from 37 to 39. Where's that at? Is anybody typing any answers out there, Sam? Maybe we should open up that thing to audio. No, then they can't hear. I tell you, these things just... Oh, yes, we can. Oh, we have to go Skype. We can talk back and forth. That won't work. We might do Skype for Sunday school, because we'll need to have video. Anyway, what am I doing? Oh, that verse. Anybody find that verse? It's not in their Bible, but it's in ours, and it shows that they believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, so he could be what? A particular person could be... Anybody know? He was able to be what then? What? Acts 8:37 to 38. The one about him believing that he's the Son of God. Yep, that's verse 37. Okay, verse 37, Acts 8:37, just tells us right there that that's what they had to believe, that he was the Son of God. And in their Bible, it's not there. It's gone. Okay, back on track here. More verses in the... We're still in Psalms 119. 160. What's that one talk about?
The word is true from the beginning.
From the beginning. Okay. And if it's going to be preserved, it's still what? It's still true. If his word was true from the beginning and he's going to preserve it, then it's still true, and it's where? That's what you're going to deal with. Now, when you talk to people about this, where do they believe that God's going to speak to them from? Like there's a church in Walla Walla, been up there for a long time. God is still speaking, or something like that. God is still speaking, and he hasn't changed his mind, I think is what it says, something like that. So when people read that, where do they think they're going to hear from God? Their mind and their heart, or God's going to guide them through special circumstances. I mean, you take your pick. But where does God speak to us today? Through the Word. And where's the Word? It's right there. In order to get it in here, we got to go through here. So there it is. Has he changed his mind? Not at all. But what has he done in that Word? There's a verse in Timothy that tells us how to understand that thing, and that's the right to divide that thing. So he's still speaking to us. We have to know exactly what he's saying to us. And he's not telling us to go to Leviticus. And he's not telling us to follow the law and obey the commandments and don't take the mark. He's telling us that you better tell people that, because that's what they're getting into, but he doesn't tell us that. So these people that think God speaks to them, He does. His word is true from the beginning. It's been preserved forever. Where is it at today? King James Bible. And their Bible doesn't tell them that. And it's just, we could just ramble on and on over this stuff. How about another, we got another one. There's two more in Psalm 119 we could still probably find. That was a bunch of them, actually. The whole chapter is about the word of God. How about verse 89? What's that one say? Anybody? 89?
Thy word is settled in heaven.
Now we got a problem. Thy word is settled in heaven. So what do you suppose people that have any kind of scholarly sniffers to their little gooner up there, what do you think they tell you? If his word is settled in heaven, where do they think it's at? In heaven still. And that's what they'll tell you. Well, yeah, it's forever settled in heaven. But down here, man has polluted it. Man has changed it. Man has been involved. Look at all the different Bible verses. Yes, but look at this one. It's been around for almost 400 years. And it's the seventh one of English, and it's the seventh one of all the major translations. So, anyway, what does it still take for people? It still takes faith. Yeah, faith is still an issue. Always has been. He still talks about faith in the Old Testament. He still talks about faith in the Gospels. What faith did they have to rely on in the Old Testament and in the Gospels? I say, whose faith? Their own. Where's a verse that tells us that? You just hate that question. Where's a verse that tells us that? It's in that weird, it's that book that Habakkuk. There's a clue. Habakkuk. Where's that? Where's the verse in Habakkuk that tells us that we understand about why they still had to have faith, but we see the difference in faith. If anybody types any answer, Sam, well, they can't because we got the thing red dotted, don't we? Yeah, but by the time that I am, we've already gone on to the next question. We'll figure out a way to get you web folks out there involved with this, too. We might do Skype, which is free, and then we can hear you yakking, and you can hear us yakking still. This will be in your video for Sunday school. What are we doing? What's my question? Oh, Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2:4 talks about their faith, doesn't it? Now, we have to have faith. We read that in Paul's writings. No doubt we have to have faith. But then once we have our faith in Christ, what do we receive? His faith, the faith of Christ. And, we probably should say that. I'll just give you an advanced quiz here. Where are the verses that talk about the faith of Christ? And is there any difference between faith in Christ and faith of Christ? That'd be a subject sometime we'll talk about. But not today, because I want to get on with this Bible stuff here. Can anybody give me one verse on the faith of Christ? Just okay, I thought maybe it's on the end of your tongue. Okay, how about some more verses on the Word of God, the Bible? We've been through some Psalms 119. There's another one in Psalm 119, verse 116, too. What's that one, Sam? Or
Frank. uphold me according unto thy word.
There we go.
Let me not be ashamed of my hope.
There we go. Okay. So we're upheld by his word. We need to get into the Bible to find out how to get through all the stuff that we've got to get through, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. How about a couple of important ones in Paul's books about the word of God, the Bible, the word of truth, or whatever? Okay, those that have spouted out a couple minutes ago, here's your chance. Now the door's open. Hello, come on. You did it. It's been loud. 1 Corinthians 13:10. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13:10. That tells us that which is perfect is come. Or when that which is perfect is come, what takes place? All that stuff that's done in part will be done. What are those things that were done in part back in those days? In other words, God would give it to them, but not totally. He just gave them what they needed to learn. Paul said to these guys all the time, God has given us an understanding. God has shown us things. So we use this to show that there was a time God spoke to people. God told them things. God showed them things in their daily walk. God gave them an understanding as much as they could handle. And that's, he did that. They had to speak in tongues. It was a sign to the Jews. God gave people knowledge because they didn't have a what? Didn't have any other way to find out about God, either from other than from a prophet or from Paul or whatever back in those days, or these guys, Peter and these guys. But now, God's going to put that which is perfect. Perfect meaning what? According to the Bible.
Complete.
Now, where do you find that verse that shows that perfect is defined as complete? You just keep asking that question about verses. If you just cut out that verse thing, I could enjoy this. And you know, this is funny, but there are a couple of you in here that don't move when I ask the question. This is just bringing back all my school teaching days. You don't want to be caught in class. So what we're going to do right now, we need to have LD come to the board. I forgot my question. What are we doing? Oh, complete. What's that say? Okay, so there's that word perfecting. What does that mean? Making it so we have no more errors? Does it mean complete? So that doesn't define it. That says that we are in the process of being perfected. Now we save time here. It's in Chronicles. Okay, how's that verse go? How's that verse go? What does that verse say? Finished. And we've learned, we don't know a lot of them, we're not good at this, our language level is not very good these days, to say it nicely. The Bible will define itself within the Bible. And there's one, that's my favorite example to show people, the word finished is what perfected is. You know, you get done, what's that?
Where was it?
Where was that, Marcy?
Second Chronicles 8:16.
I know you got to be a fast note taker, but that's only because I just enjoy this, so... You get done cleaning your house, and you go, ha, perfect. And you know it's not. But you're done. You're finished. It's perfect. So when Mom asks, how's your room, Austin? Just get the word perfect. You're done. It's finished. Of course, now we got to define the word finished. That's a whole other argument, Austin, so don't go there. Okay, so when this Bible came along, when did this Bible come along? When did that which is perfect come along? Did it come along in A.D. 90, which is where everybody says that's when the canon of the Bible, that's when it came up with the 66 books? It was done. Was it done? It wasn't done then. You've got to go through all the different translation things. And yeah, you can't translate from one language to another word for word, so there's some issues there. Matter of fact, where's a good example in the Bible where God had a book written, and then it got trashed, and then he wrote it again, and he added words to it? He did what he tells people not to do. He's God. He can do that. But did he do a wrong thing? Where's that example? Where's that little story at? Anybody know that little story? Jeremiah, very, very good. Jeremiah, I think it's around something. I think it's 24, 25, maybe 30 something. We might as well dig it up. I think next week Sunday school has to start at 8. I enjoy this. We're yakking and talking and looking and marking, and I like this. Jeremiah. Okay. A bunny trail. I got off my thing here. 36. And you know what's funny? It's just like at the end of 36, God throws this sentence in to just twing us a little bit here. He gets down to 32 and he says, then took Jeremiah another roll, gave it to Baruch the scribe, da-da-da-da. And what's the last thing he says in that chapter? Well, why did he have to throw that on there? Yeah, there were added besides unto them many like words. What? And I remember the first time I read that years ago. What is this? How can he do that? Well, you get into the English. What are the six English Bibles before the King James? Doesn't have to be in order. One is Matthew, Bishops, Geneva, the Great Bible. Two more. What's the one that came before the King James? I think it was the Geneva. And then, and that's the one, and what is the word that we like, Mrs. Rippinger used, I think is a marvelous word to use. The Bible was what? Polished. And yet you go back to the bishops, you go back to the Geneva, you go back to the Matthew, it doesn't say what the King James quite says. But it doesn't have verses missing. It doesn't have that kind of a thing. It's just that thing was polished. And then you go back, and so the Bible has to be in that what language? English language. Why are you so proud of the English language? Can we tell people why the English language is so majestic and so marvelous? Not today's English language, the biblical English. You go through the letters. What about the letters? What can you tell somebody about a letter of an English word? The letter, the definition of a letter. Each letter has defining qualities to it, and all the letters in that word actually have defining qualities to that word. Remember all that in Rippinger's book? Marvelous, just marvelous language. And anyway. Why can't it be Jesus Christ? Because they think that's what that means. Everybody thinks that's what Jesus Christ, he's that which is perfect. So when he comes, we'll be able to see. But why can't that be Jesus Christ? Unless you're a what? If you are a what, why would that fit totally perfect for your teaching? If you were a Pentecostal, charismatic, modern Christian, you can wait for Jesus because what do they think still takes place? Speaking in tongues? Signs? Knowledge from God? Wonders? And what's the other thing? Knowledge? Signs? What are the three things in part there, verse 8? Tongues and knowledge and prophecy. And that's the preaching thing. Putting forth God's words. They believe that God gives them that. And if that's the way it is, then we're waiting for Jesus Christ to come, that which is perfect. When he comes, all this other stuff will be done away. But see, we got a problem. All the teachings of speaking in tongues, all the teachings about God's knowledge given to us in part, all the teachings about prophecy being given to us, conflicts with this Bible. So, is this the Word of God? And you've got to have this nailed down yourself. Is this the Word of God? Because what's going on in Christianity today did take place. There were tongues. There was speaking in tongues. There was knowledge being given to people from God, and the preaching and the prophesying was given to these people from God to them. And so if that's the case, if that's still going on today, God is hugely changing his mind on anything that he's ever taught before. Now all of a sudden, guy can marry a guy. You know, the whole list is a mile long. Things are changing. Are Christians finally getting it? Not at all. You go to this book, and this book is the Word of God. And this little book right here not only exposes everything that's going on out there, it's exposing the fact that they're getting another Jesus, because it's another gospel presented by another spirit. And we know about this Bible, only by this Bible, that spirit is the spirit of the Antichrist, and he's going to be doing what? More and more, until it actually becomes official, more signs, lying wonders, and miracles. And here we're going to come along with this little ancient archaic book and say that healing miracle is not of God. You guys are nuts. I'm leaving. And it's tough because, okay, come on over here. I'm going to whack you in the forehead, Rebecca, and I'm going to heal you today. God can heal her anytime he wants. He can put it in remission anytime he wants. But we don't want remission. We want it gone. And that's what they're teaching out there. It's just terrible what's going on and how important this Bible is before we even... We're going to walk through this thing. We've got to have a grip that this is the Bible, the Word of God. Words from where? Where are these words from? God's mouth. Where do you read about that? Deuteronomy. So the issue today is still words of God. That's just where it's at. And I will ask you some questions next week in a review basis for those of you who are brave enough to come. And you can use your notes, but you can't use a concordance. I think we got to bag the concordance thing. Notes. Open Bible. I used to give my school kids open Bible tests, but not the concordance. I mean, you got to find your notes, da-da-da-da. But that's not fair, either, because some of us made our own concordance, and that's okay, too. Anyway, whatever. And I will post the grades every week in the hallway out here. Right by the coffee pot. Everybody can see how you're doing. Okay, take a break.